Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Don't Abort Your Promise. I have with me on the show today my good friend Nicole, and we've talked about holding on to promises for a very long time, probably since we first became friends, which was in, 2015?
Something like that, yeah.
So welcome to the show, Nicole, and thank you so much for making time to talk to the listeners, because I know you're super busy.
Oh, no, it's an honor to be on your show anytime, and I just enjoy being able to hopefully help people, because we're all in the same fight, and we're all trying to get through.
That's the truth. Oh, I want to tell all the listeners about what happened this week. I want to tell y'all something cool that happened to me this week. Last week, I was having a really, really hard week, and I had some kind of stomach ailment that went on for days, and it was just miserable. And one day, I was waiting for something to come by UPS that I needed. And UPS came, and I went to bring the package in. And it was supposed to be one small package, and there were three tall boxes there with my one tiny package. And I thought, oh, they must have misdelivered these. But I looked, and they had my name and address on them. So I took them in, and I opened them up to find three beautiful bouquets of fresh flowers shipped through Amazon, which I didn't even know Amazon shipped fresh flowers, with no note showing who sent them. And what had been a really bad day before, with all the stomach issues and everything, and the mind-numbing, urgent, days-long scanning project that I was on, trying to scan a bunch of accounting stuff in for my new CPA, turned into a brighter and nicer day. But, you know, I mean, I was 4 days behind on my laundry, my housework. Everything was just really hard that week. And the flowers were like, you know, encouragement. And it really made me smile. I had no idea that Amazon even did fresh flowers, or that you could send them anonymously. So that was pretty cool. And I especially loved the bouquet of lilies. There was one bouquet of lilies, and there were two mixed bouquets that had big daisies in them and sunflowers. And they're just all really beautiful. And the flowers brought their own food. So anyway, I've since found out that they were sent by my good friend, Prophet Jay Hudson. And they were supposed to have a card with them, and he was sharing his joy that he is in love and soon to be married. So y'all say a prayer for him to have a really lovely marriage. Okay, also, if any of you have sent a contribution to Just Praise Him anytime since March 23rd, you probably did not receive a timely email acknowledgement until like yesterday. And if you mailed it, your acknowledgement letter is on the way. Some kind of glitch happened between PayPal and my donor management software. They stopped playing nice with each other, and nothing was showing up as having come in. None of the donations were showing up, and none of the email acknowledgements were going out. It was a nightmare. It only just got fixed. So I spent all day yesterday trying to clean up that mess and catch everything up on the letters and the emails and all that. So I apologize if that confused anybody. It's fixed now, and nobody really knows, you know, what happened, why it did that. So it's probably just the devil. But anyway, that was a big gnarly problem.
But how nice was it to get those flowers and just have your day brightened like that?
It really was nice. I can't remember the last time I got fresh flowers. I think the first year I was here, my adopted granddaughter, Markayla, sent me flowers. I think that was the last time I got flowers was then. Because I just don't, it's just not something I get very, and I love flowers. I've been planting all kind of flowers in the yard here of the house. If I'm going to mess with plants, they better give me something to eat, or they better make flowers, because otherwise I got no use for them. You know, that's the two kind of plants, the only two kind of plants I mess with, and I am just not a vegetable farmer. I tried that last year. I did great as far as I had the plants in the house and everything, but I just, they're too much maintenance. I like things that once you get them started, you don't have to maintain them. So everything that I'm planting now is either native to this area, or it's very well suited to this area, so it's not a lot of work once I get it in the ground. That's what I like.
And you don't realize, but what we're talking about in this show today, matches so well with that example, because Satan brings all the things that happen in our life to discourage us and to cause problems. But even that little small thing that God sent through somebody encouraged you enough to pick you back up and to recenter your thoughts to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I know a lot of the listeners are single and alone. And when you live by yourself and you do everything yourself, especially as you go into older age, and I'm 61 now, it is hard, y'all. There's nobody to do the heavy lifting if you don't have a spouse. I don't know what it's like for the men, but I would think it would be similar, because they have to do all the heavy lifting, and then they don't have anybody to maintain, you know, the inside of the house and do, you know, help with the cooking and stuff like that. So it's hard either way. And it's hard enough dealing with the aloneness part of it. I'm a person who likes solitude, because when you're a writer, you spend a lot of time thinking and reflecting anyhow. That's just your personality. But, you know, God didn't create us to be alone. He made us to need other people. And I think me recently getting involved in a church has helped with that a lot. But it's hard, and the rent house that I live in is large. It's not huge as far as being two or three stories tall, but it does have two levels, and it's very long. Every single day, even without going outside my house, almost every single day, my Fitbit will show me I walk 2 miles inside my house, inside the house. That's a lot of walking, y'all. So I'm just saying there's a lot of work and a lot of physical effort involved when you live by yourself and there's no one to share the load. And so when other things happen that add to that, like the technical fight that we just had and fought through that, it just, you know, it just kind of, after a while, a lot of things can pile up on you at one time. And that's what Satan tries to do, is he tries to pile a bunch of problems on us where we'll just feel overwhelmed and want to give up. So we want to talk about not aborting your promise today. Y'all probably know I've been believing for my own home for 20 plus years now. I could have just bought one many times under the, you know, buy down, pay later for 40 years plan. But I worked for two different mortgage companies when I lived in Texas. So, I mean, I could have bought one then. I could have bought one later. And they even had first-time homeowner programs where you could buy one and didn't have to have a whole 10% down and all kind of stuff. And I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, can I buy a house? When I was in Louisiana, I loved Louisiana and the warmth of the people in Louisiana. When I was working there in the late 90s, I said, Lord, can I buy a house down here? I could really hang with these people down here, you know. And he would not give me leave to buy a house. So I didn't, because I don't want to be part of anything that he's not in. So over the 20 years, I even found scriptures that I was sure that I could stand on for my own home. Exodus 1:21, and it came to pass because the midwives feared God that he made them houses. These were the midwives that refused to kill the Hebrew babies when they were born under Pharaoh. Plus, I've said for years, Lord, when the Israelites went through the wilderness, all those who came out on the other side, you gave them lands they didn't buy and houses they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant. And you made houses for the midwives that feared you, and they feared you enough to obey and not kill the Hebrew babies, and I fear you too, so I'm believing that I'm going to get a house too. What you may or may not know is that for the last 4 years since I moved to Arkansas, I've been going back and forth on believing for that house. I started to wonder, since it had not happened all these years, you know, maybe it's not God's will, or, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to have a home here on earth. My mom never got one, and she was a great saint of God. And I began to think that maybe because time's so short, or maybe somehow it would make me unsafe or something like that, I really started to believe that I was going to end up dying in this rent house that I'm in. And, you know, it would be the end of the line, because time is short, y'all. I mean, even unbelievers can see something's up. I mean, it's not hard to see. You don't have to look far. Back, you know, 30 years ago, you had to look to see end time sign. You don't have to look anymore. It's just right in your face. And so I decided that while I'm in this house, okay, maybe this is the last stop for me, I'm going to just go ahead and try to be as comfortable as I can in this rent house. And I begged and begged and begged and begged the numerous landlords. I'm on the third landlord now over this property in the 4 years I've been here. And I would just beg them, will you fix this, fix that, you know, or do this or do that. And not being a pest, but just saying, hey, this needs to be fixed. I've got a deck on the side of the house that's rotting. you know, and I gave up on the gas log fireplace. The Lord finally spoke to me, and he said, fix that. And I said, okay, so I did. And he told me where to get the money to fix it. So I did it.
That wasn't cheap either.
That was not cheap. it was well over $1,000. It was almost $2,000, I think. I can't remember. But so I started fixing other things. There were drafts so bad from the deck area that I could feel them in the living room, which is more than halfway across the house. I could feel them sitting on the couch. I'd be sitting here trying to work on my laptop, and I could feel the cold wind blowing into the winter. And it was the same way in the bedroom. If you've ever lived in an old house or a rent house, they're notoriously drafty. They just are. And so I started hiring people to do caulking and different stuff. And I just literally just started trying to fix the house up myself because I didn't want to live in misery for whatever time that I had left. And I know nothing about home repair other than what I saw my husband do when I was married, because he remodeled places. That was what he did. And I have to say that every time I wrote a check to pay for another repair on this house, my resentment towards the landlord grew. And I would pray and say, Lord, I need you to help me forgive them, because this is hard. I'm in a bad position. A renter should never have to pay to repair a broke down old rent house. You should never have to pay out of your pocket for that. Meanwhile, the landlord reaps all the financial benefits of your rent payment. Come on. I mean, that's not right. And I'm not renting the cheapest place in town, not by a long shot. This is a good amount of rent for this area. So it's upsetting when you have to do that. But I know that God repays in full, especially if you mistreat one of his people. So many of you know a lot of the battles that I've fought in this 50-year-old rent house, because I've shared them with you. The demon that was squatting in the basement when I moved here, the flooding in the basement. Every time it would rain a lot, the basement would flood. And I don't think I ever told you, but I don't know if I ever told y'all about the basement flooding. There's kind of almost a kitchenette down there. It looks like it was set up for almost like if you were having other people that lived like a mother-in-law or something like that. But I can't tell for sure. But it does have like a line of kitchen cabinets and a sink is what it has. And there's a bathroom down there with a laundry place where you hook up your laundry stuff. That's where my laundry stuff is. So I fought the war with the spiders here. The worst war was the wasp war last year. That was the most terrifying. I have PTSD over that. I literally have PTSD again over the wasp. And my friend Sandy, who helped me fight it, also has it. I mean, like, it's bad. So we're still trying to work through that. So the wasp, the spiders, I mean, I've solved a lot of problems in this house since I've lived here. Not because I wanted to, because I just didn't have any other choice.
The pipe breaking in the front yard.
The pipe. Oh, I forgot about the water pipe breaking in the front yard. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's crazy just, water bill that you
yeah,
have to pay for.
Yeah. Time. Yeah. An almost $200 water bill. And I didn't get reimbursed for all of that. I mean, it's just one thing after another for 4 years. And that will wear you down. Can I just tell you that? I broke a nice, expensive carpet cleaner. Wore it out. When I first moved in here, I used to shampoo the carpets every other weekend because they were so nasty and so stained up that I just hated them. And so I thought, well, maybe if I, you know, and I thought, I didn't know they were stained. I thought, well, maybe they're just dirty, because when you move into rent houses, you inherit everybody else's dirt. Everybody else's filth that's left behind is in the rent houses. So you spend a lot of time cleaning. I like things real clean. And you spend a lot of time cleaning because you don't want that in the house with you, right? And I cannot stand carpet. I hate carpet because you can never keep it all the way clean. I like hardwood or laminate or tile, anything but carpet, because you cannot keep it clean. And it hurts your back to run those shampooers all the time. So I wore out a carpet cleaner on that and had to get another one. And finally, I realized, I'm like, you know, the dark places are coming back in the same places. This is stain. This is not dirt. These carpets are stained where they should have been pulled up a long time ago. But in rent houses, they just leave the carpet down and they're just gross. The House of Horrors, the carpet was the worst I'd ever seen. It was nasty. Like, you could put a new stain on it and you wouldn't even notice. It was so filthy. And that's really unhealthy to live around that. It gives you breathing problems. Yeah, it's not been fun in this house. It has not been fun. So I told the Lord after the wasp wars, I said, I'm at the end of my rope. I said, if they come back, I'm packing up and I'm out of here. I don't know where we're going, but not here, because that I can't live with those. That was the end of it. I can't live with them. And it's springtime now, and I'm just praying every day, Lord, please don't let him come back. After I started talking to my cousin Billy again, y'all know him as Minister Billy Williams, my faith has grown a lot by leaps and bounds. I already had a lot of faith in some areas, but when you get around somebody who knows how to walk in their authority like he does, you learn things. Like he says, iron sharpens iron. And I was like, Lord, the biggest miracle I need is still I need my own home. And also because I worry that in what's coming, that Christians are going to be kicked out of rent houses. And the reason is because the persecution against Christians is going to get so bad that it's going to be worse than what it was against the Jewish people during, the time in Germany when Hitler was alive. It's going to
during the Holocaust.
Yeah, which today is the anniversary of the day they were set free, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the day that Auschwitz was opened. They were set free, which is awesome. But the Lord told me that what's coming, the persecution that's coming, and that we will see it in America, is going to be worse than that was. And it's going to be against the Christians and the Jewish people this time. If you look at what happened to them, you know, at first it started out, they restricted them in certain areas, and then they put them all together in this one, like, area of town that they couldn't live anyplace else. And then they had to wear yellow, you know, they had to wear a mark that that's who they were. And there are all these different things that they made them do. And we're going to start seeing that. And I am very concerned. I do think that eventually they will take away any money or any property that Christians own. But I think if you're in a rent house, that you'll be kicked into the street. Because the persecution is not only going to come against the Christians. What I've continually seen in my spirit is the persecution is going to come against people who are renting to Christians, people who are helping them in any way, giving them job, anything. Because they are going to bring every pressure to bear they can against us to try to make us deny Jesus. So I've been concerned about that too. I'm like, Lord, I need you to give me a house. At least I can stay in that longer than a rent house. I'm too old to live in the forest and pick berries, okay? That's not me. Not only that, but I'm a city girl. You bring bugs around me and I freak out. So I've been praying about that. And I really want to get out from under throwing away money every month on a rent house. That's money you're never going to get back. You might as well drive down the road and just throw money out the window because it's, you know, you're just not ever getting it back. It's gone. And I'm not only spending money on rent, but on repairs and massive pest control in this old rent house. So a few months back, after I started talking to my cousin Billy a lot, I was praying one day about wanting a home, and the Lord showed me a vision. And it was the same one he showed me before years ago when I was in a real bad financial wilderness when I lived in Dallas. I saw Satan, and he had his foot down on my supply line where he had stopped the supply, and he was laughing about it. And I'm like, okay, I should have known it was him. So I began praying and asking the Lord to give me some kind of confirmation if it is for sure, you know, his will for me to have my own home while I'm down here so that I can completely believe for it. And I asked him for a nice new home, not a fixer-upper. I am tired of fixing and upping, y'all. I'm done. I'm tired of it. I'm too old for this. And the day after I got the word from the Lord I'm going to tell you about regarding my house, I woke up in the wee hours, and I use that time to work. Sometimes I'll wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll just get up and make a cup of coffee, and I'll work till like 7, and then I'll go back to sleep for a little while and then get up. I get more work done during the night than I do during the day because there's no interruptions. So I was still awake at 7 a.m., and I was getting words for the rest of the week. And into this week, when I got a serious revelation on a vision that I had a while back. And it kind of has to do with this. I think I had this vision in the past year, but I could be wrong. I'm not very good anymore at remembering seasons and times. Anyway, in that vision, I had seen the biggest, darkest storm coming I have ever seen in my life, in real life or in visions. And that's saying a lot, being from Tornado Alley. On the bottom side of the storm clouds, there was all this white static stuff, and I never could figure out what the white static was. Well, he showed me what it was. I was shown that all that static that I saw was interference. It is satanic interference. In that storm cloud vision, I was carrying someone who was naked, that was younger in the vision than in real life. And for a person to be naked in a vision, to me, represents them being uncovered. They don't have the covering of the Lord. That's an unsaved person. So they have no protection because they're unsafe. And I never had a bond really with this person, but I would definitely never wish any suffering on them. It's somebody I love and who I pray for all the time. And I don't know for sure, but I think maybe carrying that person means, I think it's kind of representative of the people that are harder to love maybe. So keep this in mind if you're dealing with lost people who drive you up the wall, because we all have those people in our lives at some point. And also keep in mind that whatever we do to the least of them, God wants us to intercede for them, you know, and ask them, him to save them and keep lifting them up in prayer. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Anything you do for that lost person that drives you nuts, you're doing it for Jesus. You're doing it the same as if you were doing it for the king. So keep that in mind, because that's really important. So I was also shown that that interference by Satan has an assignment. It has been sent to steal your focus, waste your time, and derail your calling, or to stall it out by flooding it with things of the world. Y'all remember the old cars that we had back in the 70s, and they had those big old carburetors on them? And if you hit too much on the gas while you're trying to start them, you would flood the carburetor. Remember that? Okay. Satan wants to flood your life with things from the world that same way, so that you can't get it started. You can't get your calling started. Okay, that's a word for somebody. The Lord said that's a word for somebody. You've been trying to get your calling started. It's just not taking off. The reason is because Satan sent a flood of worldly things into your life, and you need to shut them down. If he can stall you out or steal your focus so you don't work at your calling, pretty soon all the time will be behind us and it will be too late. We'll be up in heaven. Okay, so talking about unfulfilled promises like me and the house, Nicole has been believing for years for her spouse to be saved. Tell us about when you started believing for your spouse to be saved and what that's been like for you, Nicole.
Well, this July, we will have been married 25 years.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. So, of course, when we first got married, I just assumed he would get saved immediately. I guess because being a Christian, even though I was extremely, I mean, I was young, I got married when I was 20, I wasn't as close to God as I am now. But I just assumed he would just get saved because who doesn't want God? When you want, when you have God, you can't understand why somebody wouldn't want it.
Yeah, I agree.
So that didn't happen right away. And of course, God used a lot of things in our in my life and the things we went through to teach me a lot, because I don't resemble at all the person who I was 25 years ago as compared to what I am now. Mm-hmm. And I see the things he taught me through my husband. And now looking back, I can see it. But if I had known what I was going to go through now, 25 years ago, I would have chose differently. So that's often why God doesn't show you the whole picture right away, because there's a reason he wants you to walk through things, and he knows you would run.
That's profound.
Yeah. So don't be in a hurry to try to say, okay, I need to do this, 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 because God showed me. A lot of times when he shows you something or gives you a promise, it's because he knows it's going to take a while getting there, and you have to have something to hold on to. If he was going to give it to you right away, he wouldn't need to show you that. Amen. So remember that when you get frustrated. And in the natural, I would have liked to have been done by now. I'm just being honest, because
Well, that's
we
human.
All, yes, as humans, we want to be comfortable. We want to be happy. This is normal. We don't want fights. We don't want the struggle of what it is. But in the Christian life, it's a battle. This is what it is. It's something that you have to accept. You cannot get around that. And again, I would have liked it have been answered immediately, but there's a reason. And I try not to lose focus of the reason, of the long goal, because this is a spiritual battle. And there are things fighting us all around us all the time, whether we see them or not. And thank God we don't see them all the time, because I don't think we could handle it.
No.
But Satan uses our flesh to deceive us all the time. We have been so conditioned to the fast-paced life that when the answers to our prayers don't come on the timeline that we think is appropriate, the enemy leaps in to work against us through it. God has set up free will for a reason. this actually protects us. We have to choose, and therefore he, as God, in the perfect way he designed it, this is the way it is. He can't intervene on our behalf unless we ask him. This is the rule that he has set up, and it protects us from the enemy, because Satan too must have permission from us. We think that he comes in and he runs all over us, but we give him the permission to do it, which means we can fight against him doing it at all. He tricks us into giving it to him. So in order to stay aware of Satan's tricks, we must, at the root of our being, understand who God is, what he has done for us, and how to use that to our advantage.
Amen.
In other words, we cannot just have a head knowledge of the power that we have in God. We must know it in order for it to truly work through us, because his power is supposed to work through us. But if you don't understand that, it won't. We stop it up. It's like a pipe with water running through them, but we have all this crud in there and God can't flow through us. We have to remember that when we take the word into our spirit and then we speak it out into our situation, it has the same creative power, just like it did when God said, "Let there be light." All I did was speak it and it happened. Think about how powerful that is.
Yeah.
When you understand that you have the power of God to speak into your situation, you activate the faith that allows him to act through what you are declaring. The Bible says that life and death are in the tongue. And we have been so conditioned by the enemy to accept the lies that he puts in our mind and then speak them out that we are hurting ourselves and aborting our breakthrough. We are doing it to ourselves.
Wow.
We do not see into the spirit realm. There are real forces restraining our answers to prayers all the time. Remember in Daniel, after God gave him the dream and he prayed, and then he asked God for the interpretation. A principality withheld the answer that had been released from God immediately. It said, the Bible says, the angel came to him and said, "God heard you and answered you immediately." But the prince of, I think it was Persia?
Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm. Persia delayed the answer. If we pray for something and then we start contradicting our own prayer with opposite speech, you're doing Satan's job for him.
You know what? That just showed me something. Because here, if I'm believing for a house, I can't say, "Well, I'm not a homeowner." You got to go around saying that you are. You got to call those things that be not. You got to call them into existence.
Yes.
You have to call that person that's unsaved, saved, and not talk about how they're unsaved. You have to call your child who's acting all crazy in the world saved and living for God. Even at least in your private time, when you're driving back and forth to work, when you're walking around your house doing your housework, "Thank you, Lord, so-and-so is saved, living for you, serving you, walking in their purpose," and whatever. I started doing that with this house. But I have to also stop saying, "Well, I'm not a homeowner. I'm not this. I'm not that." You know, whatever. Okay, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. If the answer is being withheld due to a spiritual battle, and we begin to declare the evidence of what we see instead of what we are expecting, we abort the answer.
Bingo.
We stop the work that God's doing, and then it gets delayed. And then we wonder why it's taking so long, but a lot of it's probably us, because Satan knows how to convince us of that.
Yeah, that's good.
In Hebrews 11:1, it says, and I'm reading from the KJ3, which I love that version. And I like King James as well, but it says, "Now faith is the essence of things being hoped, the evidence of things not being seen." And when I read that, it's like I saw, it's hard to explain what I saw, but I saw like this glistening liquid that was faith. It's the essence of what we need for it to become manifest in our lives. He was showing me the importance of that. It's hard to explain what I saw, but I know that the statement was that in the Bible, we just kind of gloss over that, but he was showing me how important the faith to what we're believing for, how it makes it manifest.
I'm seeing something too. I'm looking at these words on a page and I keep seeing "now faith" together. Now faith would be faith that right now I have what I'm asking for. Now faith.
Wow.
I just saw that. Never seen it before.
We have to remember that faith is the very building block of Christianity.
Yes.
You cannot be a Christian without faith.
Amen.
And the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
How can, and then going back to that scripture, faith is the essence of things being hoped for, the evidence of things not being seen. How can you have evidence of something without seeing it? This is saying we need a promise, something that we are hoping for, and we use our faith in God to let Him produce the evidence of it.
The other evidence is when you're believing for something and you're confessing it out of your mouth, after you do that for a little while, you will feel this assurance rise up in your spirit like it's already been done. In your mind, you'll go like, yeah, that's coming to pass. Have you ever had that? Because I get that if I'm believing for something for a while and I'm confessing in line with that and confessing God's word over it, I'll come to a certain point where I'll go, yeah, I'm saying it, but I know in my spirit already knows that it is done. Maybe that's the now faith.
And also recently I had to preach at the church. My dad is recovering from COVID. It was very, very bad.
Praise God for saving him. Tell them the story about what the doctor said, what he asked the doctor, what the doctor said, because that is so good.
We had COVID. It wasn't that bad for us. It's different for every person. But for him, I knew because he was a minister, he already had underlying health issues. I knew Satan was going to try to take him out. And he kind of waited last minute because he kept thinking it was cold. And he was on the vent for almost 2 weeks. It was very scary. But something cool happened in this because we were warring for him. My mother and I and some warriors in the church. Yes. We were just on a daily basis. Anytime we thought about it, we would start praying. And I remember being on the phone call with my mother, and I said, I don't know why, but I have a peace about it. And she said, oh, I do too. And then all of a sudden I saw, God showed me that the peace about the battle was not because I didn't have anything to do. It was so that when I did warfare, it would be effective.
Oh.
So it's just like believing for your promises. If you, like you just said about that feeling that you know it's done, that's because He's given you that faith to be able to keep on speaking it out. It's the anointing coming in with the faith that makes it more effective. It's almost like using since we're talking about plants, using a root stimulator to transplant the plant. It makes the roots grow, kind of like that. The anointing that is put in it because of that peace He gives you, it just helps fight off all the doubt and the things that Satan are going to try to put in, because he's still going to try to do it. I mean, there were times when, even when he came off the vent, you know, they weren't telling us how bad it was because they didn't want to. But they said after he recovered, he's still not back in the pulpit yet. That was in January this happened. He had to learn how to walk all over again. It was bad. But he asked the doctor, how close did I come to dying? And he said, we do it by each organ, each major organ, how it's failing. And we add the percentages up. And he said you were at 150% chance of dying.
Man.
So it was only God that delivered him. And he's getting stronger every day. He actually was just released to drive. He told me that yesterday. So it's encouraging, you know. And the devil worked on him, too. He kept saying, oh, you're never going to be able to preach again. You'll never be. And so I said, no. I said, Dad, do you think God spared you from this because he was done with you? He's like, no. He knows that. But we all struggle with things. And this show is about learning how to stop the doubt, because it is causing us so much trouble. Yep. I don't think we realized how much we have to remember. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and it's causing us to not receive what he wants us to receive. Do you think God wants me living in a rent house that's full of, you know, broke down, all this stuff happening that takes my focus away from the work? I don't think so. And I don't think he wants the listeners having to deal with any of that stuff either. So I'm just saying.
Definitely. So the first point that I really want to make people realize is that we do not let the current circumstances determine your words. Amen. Because that is easy to do when you're living through something that you're struggling, and it's been a long time, like my situation, and you have those days that are long, like you did with you
guilty
just having
here.
A bad day. Oh, yeah. We all do this. But if we let the current circumstances determine our words and we start speaking what we're feeling out of the situation, it's going to hurt us. We have to learn to let our words create our future condition.
Well said, because Satan will keep bringing those negative circumstances to be sure we keep speaking negative so we can't ever receive anything.
Yeah, the number one lie the enemy tells us when we have been waiting for an answer to prayer, that is that you were wrong. God didn't tell you that. How many times?
So true.
Oh, no. I would bet money, not that I bet, but every single listener right now has experienced that at least once, if not multiple times. Oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't God. It was just me. He didn't really tell me that. That's his number one task. That's what he did in the garden when he went to Eve. He said, well, God did not surely say.
Did God really say that? No, he didn't say that, Eve. You know, he didn't say that, Adam.
And if she hadn't doubted, if he hadn't put that seed of doubt in her and she hadn't started thinking that way, she would have never gone to take the fruit. That was her first mistake. Was believing that she doubted what God said.
So true. Let's also remember that, the devil attacks most heavily at the beginning and at the end of a thing. And we are very near the end of everything as we know it. So how hard do you think he's going to attack now? He knows his time is short. He also knows that the Lord is going to do a lot of mighty exploits in this time to kind of give the unbelievers another chance to believe. Miracles are for the purpose of helping unbelievers believe. We already believe. The miracles are a bonus to us, but they are for the purpose of helping unbelievers believe. That's why Jesus did so many, was to help people to believe. So when he tries to lie and say there's no way that can still happen, we need to remind him that we serve the mighty Jehovah who brought about 2 million people out of slavery to the Egyptian government and fed them supernaturally as they traveled in the desert for 40 years until finally their leaders and children only entered the promised land.
Yes.
I want to pray a prayer real quick. Will you join me in praying for the listeners?
Sure.
Lord, we lift every listener to you right now. We pray, Lord God, that you would help them to grab hold of the promises that you have given them, to kick doubt out of the way, kick dirt in Satan's face, and move forward in believing 100%, not allowing the doubt to creep in, to start taking care of whatever they have like it's what they want, and that you will be able to fulfill every promise and every dream, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Bless every listener, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thanks for listening.
People that are out there that don't feel like they have enough faith, Lord, I ask right now that you would multiply their faith and help them see that it's there. They just need to plant it and let it start growing and keep watering it. Even in the small things that they do, it will grow.
Yes.
Remind them of all the things that you've done for them in the past that helps grow their faith.
Yes, Lord. I agree.
Amen.
Well, I hope this has been a blessing to all of you. Thank you, Nicole, for taking your time to speak to the listeners today and to be on the show and share your testimonies with us, because I know you're going to encourage a lot of people through this.
You're welcome.
Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook. Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.